is American Life. I'm Ira Glass. You're listening to a Pledge Drive edition of our show. So we did an episode about libraries a few months ago. And you know what I learned from airing that episode? Librarians really listened to the radio. Librarians went nuts for it. They, like, for weeks afterwards on Twitter, they were still sharing it with each other more than any show I can ever remember us doing. Those people are really into sharing information. That's what I got from it. And the story that seemed to get to them the most was the one I'm about to play you. It's about a woman returning to her own childhood library. Stephanie Fu was the reporter.
Lydia Sigworth walks into her childhood library in Dubuque. It's this huge stone building with Roman columns, built over 100 years ago. And as soon as we pass through the front door, Lydia stops dead in her tracks, looks up at the large, echoey rotunda above us, and gets quiet.
Do you remember how you felt walking into the library when you were a kid?
It was my favorite part of each day, and I always had a plan. I always came with a plan of what I wanted to do.
This was her favorite place growing up. She only lives half an hour away now, but she hasn't been a patron here in nearly two decades. Back when she was six, Lydia, her mom, and her six siblings used to spend a lot of time here. Like, a lot of time. They spent all day, almost every day here, for about half a year, while they were homeless. We walk past a World War I exhibit into an airy space filled with nonfiction books and people working on computers.
This was where the children's department used to be, I'm pretty sure.
We go around the crafting zone into a quiet area by a big floor-to-ceiling window that looks out on the street.
This was a very warm spot because of the window. I remember it being, like, very cozy and warm.
There are some cushiony chairs here. Those are new. Back then, they'd sit on the floor.
My little brother would take his nap here. This was a quieter spot where we're sitting right now. And I remember my eldest sister, you know, holding my little brother, who's two at the time, and he was sleeping, and she would quietly read a book out loud to me.
This used to be next to a big shelf where they kept all the boxcar children books. They were free to run around unassisted, without parents hovering over them, to do whatever they wanted. If you think about it, libraries are kind of one of the only public spaces where kids have freedom like that. And so Lydia ran through the stacks and crawled around on the play rug, or just stared out of this big window, her favorite, near where her baby brother used to sleep.
I forgot about this. So the entrance is below us right now, and I would watch people come in and out, because we'd be here for like hours at a time, and I would watch people come in and then wait for them to come back out and like see like how many books they had.
Lydia came from a stable family, but when they moved from Denver to Dubuque, they had a tough time finding a place they could afford. So they crashed with friends and family, moving every month or two. Lydia remembers all nine of them crammed together in someone's basement. She and her five sisters all slept together on a big L-shaped couch with blow-up mattresses in the middle. And every morning, Lydia's mom would pack up all the kids and take them to the library.
I think that's why they took us here, is to give the family we were staying with privacy, but also to give us our own measures of privacy.
Because it's so big, you could...
We could spread out and have our own spots. So I had spots here. And you can't have a spot in a, you know, furnished basement shared with eight other people.
Her parents did such a good job pretending that they were just on a fun adventure that Lydia didn't register any of this as painful or difficult. She didn't even really understand that their family was going through anything until she was having a conversation at work about a year ago, talking about homeless people coming to the library. It came rushing back to her. Wait a minute. That was me. She honestly had never thought about it for almost two decades.
And so I'm sitting in this meeting, like, almost crying. Like, I tear it up. I was... Like, how did I never realize this before? And how did we never talk about this? And then I was like, it's because it wasn't traumatic. It was, we were fine. We were happy. We were fed and clothed and taken care of. So there was nothing wrong. Because I remembered that time so fondly that I was like, oh, that was the year we lived in the library. It was the best time ever. I just remember the feeling that it gave me of belonging. I get really emotional thinking about it because I credit Mrs. S for most of it.
Mrs. S was the children's librarian. Lydia's favorite spot in the library was by her desk.
It was like a round desk, like a half moon round desk. And so I would make a beeline over here and make my demands known.
Every morning, all seven kids would run in and spread out over her library. But every day, Mrs. S would greet them warmly. She'd stroll the stacks with Lydia, helping her find something to read. They had conversations about books and about life. Lydia remembers this one day in particular when Mrs. S came up to her with a recommendation.
I remember her putting aside the book, The 12 Dancing Princesses, for me. I remember her bringing it to me and saying that, like, this came back and I thought of you right away when I saw it because you have sisters, so this, I got this for you.
It was the first book that felt perfect for her. The youngest princess in the book was the heroine, and she was also the youngest sister in her family. She was sure Mrs. S was telling her that she was special. Lydia wanted to find Mrs. S for a few years because she had such great memories of her. But who exactly was she? Lydia had no idea what the S stood for, like what her real last name was. She visited the library once to ask, and they said they weren't sure. It had been decades. But there was a Mrs. Stevenson who had worked here a long time. Only problem was, she couldn't talk to her that day because she was on vacation. So Lydia just went home. Then, about a year ago, when all of the memories of her being homeless came flooding back, she wrote a long email to say thank you and sent it to Mrs. Stevenson. But she never got a response. Lydia thought, it's probably not the right Mrs. S. Or maybe she doesn't remember me.
You are the staff only. Very exciting.
So I'll just tell you. I called ahead and, yep, Mrs. Stevenson was Mrs. S. And yes, she totally remembered Lydia. So we went to see her in the staff-only area. It was the first time Lydia had seen her since she was a little kid. Mrs. S was sitting in a big, warm office decorated with paintings of cows and pink monsters. And when she saw Lydia, she rushed out with her arms wide open and grabbed her into a huge hug.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
Aww. You look the same.
Do I?
Yes, just taller.
Do you remember me?
I remember your family.
Oh, because we were here all the time.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Golly.
Try to think of the last person you've met who used the word golly with all sincerity. I can see why Mrs. S made her feel cared for.
I brought you a present that is very badly wrapped. I don't know what happened to my ribbon.
And I think it's beautiful now.
Thank you.
It is, of course, a copy of The 12 Dancing Princesses.
Oh, my God. Did I introduce this book to you?
You did.
It's my very favorite book of all time.
That's so funny because I thought it was special for me.
Well, of course it was. Because you said
then Lydia asks Mrs. S, did she read her letter? Turns out Mrs. S never got it. We figure it probably got caught by her spam filter. And so Lydia starts to explain everything about that moment recently where she realized she'd been homeless.
This was my home for that year. And I felt like I belonged and I was safe here. And I believe that was partially due to your influence for me.
Oh. Again, can't I give your parents all that credit? I knew, but no. It's your mom and dad.
And I really do give them so much credit, but my memories from that time are all of you. You know, you treating me so well, and I felt so important here. I felt like you thought that I was just the greatest, and it just means so much.
I just think that's wonderful.
That's the sound of a hug.
It's everyday life for the library.
It is.
It's what we do. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember knowing about the family situation when they were in?
I didn't know the exacts of the family situation. We just knew. We just knew. They were here every day. It was obvious.
Lydia starts nodding effusively to what Mrs. S is saying. She knows exactly what she's talking about. Because Lydia works with those kids every day herself. She's a librarian. A children's librarian.
And you became a librarian.
I did, because of you.
I think it's awesome.
You don't realize how much influence you have on anybody just by doing your job.
You keep saying you're just doing your job, and I feel like I need to say, though, that you did not have to be that kind. Like, you could have done your job without being that eternally kind. And that's something that I think about a lot, because there are situations with children that I know are coming from difficult places, or children who are there all day, and they just need a lot from me, you know? And there are days when I don't want to be the most kind person on the planet because I'm tired, or the child is being challenging. You know, there are always those days, but you were that kind.
Yes. The girl who lived at the library grew up to become a librarian, helping other kids like her.
I'll have families that, I would say most of the kids that are there all the time, it's because they don't want to be home or don't have a stable home. And that, I just hope I'm doing the same thing for my kids. It's so important to me.
I don't think you have to hope. I know you are. Just by watching and seeing your reactions today, I know you are. You are.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Just continue to do what you're doing. It's obvious.
I'm just going to cry now for a little while. It's fine.
The two women swap numbers in their phones. They make a date to get fried pickles in Platteville and to talk shop about disenfranchised youth and best practices at story time. I visited the Platteville Library, where Lydia's been a children's librarian for 8 years. And I have to say, she's really great at her job. She pinballs from one side of the room to another, helping one kid fix her computer, making sure others are safe as they walk out.
Well, it's gone black. That's a great sign. There we go!
Yes.
Okay, we fixed it.
Now let me listen to my song.
How are you doing, bud?
Good.
Good. Good. All right. It's probably a better idea to put coats on.
She brought in her parents' scale and used some old x-rays to make a fake hospital, and has a fish named Fishstick that the kids help take care of.
Ooh. Are we gonna fill it up?
We are gonna fill it up.
Water.
Not with toilet water.
The windows have little reading nooks in them, and a giant bear to cuddle with named Sir Fluffy Puffy McBearson. On April Fool's Day, she set up a self-checkout line. It was just a mirror at the counter. Get it? She also holds her monthly book club, where she and a bunch of kids talk about their readings, but also build things out of stacked books and create funny videos and play games. I talked to a couple of kids who said they used to hate reading, but now they love it, all because of Miss Lydia's book club.
I want to know where the shadow puppet books are.
Shadow puppets? You want to learn how to make shadow puppets?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do that.
Lydia has one girl at her library who is there all the time, every day. We'll call her Anna. Anna reminds Lydia of herself growing up, but she's had it harder. Her living arrangements aren't stable. She's often hungry. Lydia worries about her when she disappears for a week. One day about a year ago, when Anna was 9, she had the same impulse with Lydia that Lydia had with Mrs. S. Anna wrote her a letter. It says, Lydia is really nice. She's a really nice person. She's an intelligent, rememberative, and fast young woman. Sometimes when I'm at home, I just want to go to the library, just to see Lydia.
Stephanie Fu. You can see why librarians would really be into that story, right? Anyway, a lot of what happens on this radio station, of course, is traditional journalism bringing you up-to-date news reports on what's happening in the world and analysis of what that might mean. But here on This American Life, from the start, we try to apply the tools of journalism to stories that are so small and personal that traditional journalists would not have bothered with those stories. And that's basically this story you just heard, right? Like, there's no news hook. This was not part of a trend, you know, in any way. It's just somebody living their life. Here's what they go through. Here's what they think about. Here's what they value. It's just documenting people's lives. And I got interested in making these kinds of stories because I just really love them. I love the feeling they give me. I love the glimpse into other people's experiences. And if you feel the same way about this kind of story, I'm here to ask you, in sincerity, can you help me and my coworkers and everyone at this radio station do our jobs? Like, we wouldn't ask for your money if we did not really need it. Can I say, like, coming on like this, it's not dignified, it's not fun. I know it's not great when somebody asks you for money either, so from your side, it's not so awesome. I'm here asking only because the station really needs it. And just from basic fairness, think about it. Who should the radio station be getting its money from? The people who like this stuff, who want it to continue. And that is true for me. Like, I love this kind of story. I want this kind of story to exist. If that is true for you too, please join me in trying to make these things happen in the world. Here's how to pledge.